Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Jim McCarty back as my guest for Live Your Music. Join us for a conversation about the Yardbirds, music, love, and life. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Margot. Very lovely to be here tonight.
Or today, or
wherever it is.
It's today here in Marin County, California, and it's, what time is it in France? You're in France, right?
Yes, it's 9 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, wow. That's so amazing to think of how the people around the world have such different time zones, you know?
I know, it's funny, isn't it? And the amazing thing is that you're so clear. I'm talking to you, and, you know, you're so far away.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, sometimes I forget to appreciate technology, excuse me, and all it lets us do and how it lets us communicate with people all over the world.
I know. Sometimes I have more trouble speaking to someone in the UK than I do speaking to someone in California. Very odd.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, last time you were on in July of last year, we mostly focused on your newer book, She Walks in Beauty. And I love that book so much because, you know, I love talking to you about Lizzie. And I love the illustration on the front with Lizzie and the butterflies. I really do. I love it. I love how her arms are even spread out, you know, like, I love life. That's kind of what it looks like.
I know. It's so true to Lizzie, that picture. It really is.
Yeah. My only regret in reading it and talking with you about her is that I didn't get to meet her because, oh, my gosh, sounded like she was an amazing human being.
Yes, I think you would have liked her a lot. Yeah, you would have got on.
Yeah, I think so, too. Anyway, for today's show, I would like to focus on your first book, which is Nobody Told Me. I love that title.
Yes. Well, nobody did tell me what I was to expect, you know, that was the problem. I didn't know what to expect in life, and it was quite a turn up.
I think in some ways that's true of all of us, really. You know, I mean, we think people tell us, but there's so much to know about life.
I know. And even now we don't know a thing, you know. It's like, I still don't know how life is, you know, and I'm nearly 80 now.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. In fact, I think the older we get, the more we realize how much there is to know, so the more we realize that we don't know it all.
I know, incredible. It's like this thing with Lizzie, you know, that she's still here, but she's not, you know.
Oh,
That's an incredible thing to learn later in life, but the consciousness actually goes on, and we're all around somewhere or other.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved our conversation about that in the show last year, and so I really highly recommend that everybody listen to that one as well, because that was really a great conversation about Lizzie and about connecting with the people that you love that have turned into, I can think of as turning into angels in the
film. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's amazing that that can all happen.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the book Nobody Told Me. For the people who are new to you that haven't known about the Yardbirds since 1996, and oh my gosh, there's so many songs that you guys did that I still love. For Your Love, Heartful of Soul, Over, Under, Sideways, Down, Shapes of Things, I'm Not Talking, Stroll On. And then, of course, the three amazing guitarists that you guys had, Eric Clapton first, then Jeff Beck, and then Jimmy Page. Wow.
Yeah, they were all pretty good.
Yeah, they were all pretty good. I love that. Well, that leads us into the question, though, that my husband wanted me to ask you. He said, what did it feel like to play with these guitar monsters, his words, especially Jeff Beck? So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Jeff was probably the most, in a way, the most difficult person to play with, because he was very moody, and he got very stressed on stage, especially.
Mm.
But he was probably, you know, the most gifted of the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some funny times, because if he didn't like his sound, he would often lose his rag, and he would maybe kick the amplifier off stage, or break something or other, or storm off. You never quite knew what to expect, and it was always like a bit tense, you know, as opposed to Jimmy Page, who was very straightforward and always played the same every night and never lost his rag, and it was all very easy. Same with Eric, really. Of course, Eric was just learning how to do it at the time. He was just growing into the blues like we all were, and he was part of the team, and but he was very dedicated and loved to play the blues, and he loved to dress the part. He was very conscious about the way he looked, and when I first met him, he was an Ivy Leaguer, believe it or not. You know, he was like a Steve McQueen.
Wow.
Steve McQueen with the trench coat, you know, and the shoes that I can't remember what sort of shoes they used to wear. The loafers. I think the loafers is the word.
Oh yeah. Uh huh.
And
the kind
and
that you just slip
the,
on.
Yeah, that's it. And the crew cut. He had a crew cut.
Really?
So he was very American influence, but first of all, before he went on to other, he grew his hair and had his big poof on hairstyle and all that stuff. And this is how he was, but he would change, you know, every now and then he would change his image, and I'm sure people have seen that through the years, but he was also very dedicated to the blues, of course, and played it really well.
And rock, right? Rock and roll, too, you know.
Oh, yeah. He could rock, okay. But both him and Jeff, I would say, were not really team players. They were individuals. And they were going to, make good really with being the leader of the band, sort of thing. They couldn't really go along with the band, but Jimmy could. Jimmy was more of a band person, as is born out with Zeppelin. He was a true band guy with Zeppelin. But the other two, they had to be solos.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. I mean, Eric Clapton and Jeff Beck both went out on their own, and I think of them as just being who they were, you know, performing. But Jimmy Page was a part of Led Zeppelin, so, you know, I mean, that's another band that he got along with.
Yeah,
so.
And I don't think he's ever done really stuff on his own. He's always been linked with somebody like Robert or those other bands he played with. Not that many, but he never went solo, did he? Jimmy Page and his band. he never ever saw that. So I think he always liked collaborating. And the other two were different. I mean, they couldn't really toe the line with the band. You know, they couldn't be part of the like the voting process or whatever. And they were obviously they got unhappy before they left. In both cases.
Yeah, and I have in my notes here that Eric Clapton was in the band, the Yardbirds, from 1963 through 65.
Yes, and, yes.
And Jeff Beck from 1965 through 66, and then Jimmy Page from 66 through 68. And I think
he told
me last time that I think it was Jimmy Page that played with you, the Yardbirds, when you guys came to the United States, right?
Oh, no. Jeff came initially.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jeff was the initial guitar player. Really, he was quite lucky because, although he did create a lot of the Yardbird sound, and I think it was him that with all his wonderful guitar sounds that created the sound that people remember as the Yardbirds. And also, he played on most of those hits. You know, he played on Harps of Soul, Shapes of Things, I'm a Man, Mr. You're a Better Man Than I, you know, Happening 10 Years Time Ago. He played on all those hits, more than the others. You know, the others didn't really play on all the hits.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. Wow. So tell us a little bit more about your musical journey, though, how you got started, how the band became the Yardbirds, and so on and so forth.
Well, it's obviously a long story. It's all in the book, Nobody Told Me. But I started off playing the snare drum in a sort of marching band in a thing called the Boys Brigade, which was an organization in England that was like a semi-military thing. And I played the snare drum, and there were other drummers all drumming the same, and there were bugles, you know, and it was that sort of group that marched along the streets. And I just loved it. I loved playing the drum as it was. And then I got listening to early American rock and roll like Buddy Holly and the Crickets and Everly Brothers, Gene Vincent and all that stuff. And I had a band at school with Paul Samuel Smith, who became the bass player of the Yardbirds. And we were at school together, and we're still very close, actually, after all that time. And we had a group, and we used to play in the school dances, and we played for rock and roll in the interval, and everyone went mad, and then they went back to doing the waltz and the foxtrot. But that was fun. And then I teamed up with him again later on, after we'd left school, because he in a way got me into listening to the blues, or R&B as we used to call it. And he said, "Oh, you've got to come back and hear this album, Jimmy Reed at the Carnegie Hall." So I went back to his house, and I loved hearing this sort of music. It was like sort of rock and roll, but it was much more much more sort of emotional and raw, and had a magic to it. And then I started to hear Bo Diddley and Muddy Waters and Slim Harper, Howling Wolf, and all these great blues singers, and it was all really magical. And we wanted to play that music. And we used to go and see the Rolling Stones because they played in our area in Surrey, which was an area sort of southwest of London. And we decided to form a band between Paul and myself, who we were at grammar school, as we called it, high school. And the other three guys were at art school in Kingston in Surrey. So we went from there. We were playing this R&B stuff, as we called it. And eventually we got the job taking over from the Stones at the Crawdaddy Club, which was in Richmond. When they used to play there every week, and then they got too big, really. They went out on a big UK tour after their first couple of hits, and that's when we took over from them.
Wow, that's interesting. So did you guys go see the Beatles too? Were they an influence to your band as well?
Well, it's interesting. The Beatles that were from Liverpool, which was like two or three hundred miles away, and in those days you didn't travel like you do now, so Liverpool was a long way away. And actually, I was born in Liverpool, and I did go back with a friend when I was a teenager every now and then, but I never actually got to see the Beatles. I saw a couple of other Mersey bands, but never the Beatles. It was only when we actually played with the Beatles that I saw them play live, because we played with them in their Christmas show in 1964.
Wow. I had no idea that Liverpool would be so far away from where you were, so that really makes sense why you wouldn't have gone to see them, but the Rolling Stones were closer to where you were.
Well, exactly, and there were bands, you know, in different areas. Like there were southern bands like us and the Stones and Pretty Things and the Kinks and all that, and then there were all the Mersey bands like the Beatles and the Jerry and the Pacemakers and Freddie and the Dreamers, and they were all from Liverpool. And then there were bands from Birmingham, which was in the middle, in the Midlands, like Stevie Winwood and Spencer Davis, you know, and the Moody Blues. They were from Birmingham.
Interesting.
Just like Robert Plant.
That's where Robert Plant was from?
Yeah, Robert Plant was from Birmingham. Yeah.
Wow. This is fun. You know, I really am glad I have your book, and it's great because you can read all the details, but hearing you tell the stories is so wonderful. I love hearing the stories. And
I can remember them quite well, actually, so I'm quite lucky.
Yeah, I'll tell you, having a good memory is really important, and being able to remember things. I've been reading this novel where this woman lost her memory for, I think, over 3 years or something like that. I don't even know if that is really something that can happen, but then she did get it back. But, you know, when you start thinking about, we all take it for granted that we can remember things and we can go back and go, oh, yeah, I remember doing this or doing that or meeting this person or being with that person.
It's horrifying, wouldn't it?
Horrifying.
You don't remember, you know, don't remember the last 5 minutes. Because that happens to people, doesn't it? They can't remember what they just said and things like that. That must be awful.
Yeah.
But we haven't got there yet. So.
No.
let's live while we can.
Oh, yeah. Well, I highly recommend people get your book, Nobody Told Me, the paperback version. They can get on Amazon, I believe. I think that's where I got it.
Yeah.
But, oh, my gosh. And then I love all the pictures from your collection that you have in there of the early days with the bands and the different people. And that's, I don't know, I'm glad. It's like a collector's item for sure.
Yeah, it makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah. I love having the pictures in there because then you feel more like you can relate to what was going on in your life during each one of the different segments of time.
Yes. And first of all, at one point when I was a teenager, it was like classic, really. I went down and played in a holiday camp down in Cornwall, which is in the west of England. Mm-hmm. And a holiday camp on the seaside. You know, it's a sort of classic idea that bands would play there when they're young, you know. And it was quite funny. And we used to work in the kitchen in the daytime and prepare the food, and then in the evening we'd play in the bar. I think I was about 16 or 17 then, and I played with a couple of guys from school.
Uh-huh.
And I remember taking my drum kit on the train, putting the drums in the train. It was like a real Yardbird, you know, playing the drums on the train.
That would be so hard to take the old drum kit places. I love the pictures of the drum kit. And, you know, I was also wondering, though, in the pictures that I put in the slideshow and also in the poster that I created for the show, I've got two pictures there in the poster where you're playing guitar. So when did you start playing guitar?
Oh, okay, yes. I went to I still love playing guitar. I like playing guitar and singing, and
mm-hmm.
I've done my own albums of my own songs, singing them, and I like the sort of balladeer approach as well as being a drummer. I like the sort of troubadour approach to music, where you play the guitar and you sing songs about what's going on in the world. I like all that stuff. And I think I learned guitar after when we had Renaissance, because Keith Ralph and I used to write a lot of the songs, and so I taught myself at that time. And then I can plug this, because we had a band a bit later called Illusion with some of the Renaissance members, including Keith's sister Jane. And this was after Keith had died. This was after 1976. After Keith had died, after he was electrocuted. And we had this band called Illusion. And so I decided to sing in that band and play guitar and sing along with Jane. And we've got a box set coming out just almost to the day. Of four of the albums. But it's really quite good stuff. Even though I say it myself, it's very it's very melodic and very nice.
I can't wait to hear it. I can't wait to check it out. So, okay, now also you've got a cruise coming up. You had had shows last year that I had talked about were coming up, but the March 23rd through 30th of this year, you've got the Flower Power Cruise, and that's still coming up. Do you know if there's still any tickets left for that?
I believe that there aren't any.
Probably. But can you tell us a little bit about it? You know, because you said you've done it more than once, and so maybe people can do it again some other time.
Well, we've done it twice. They're usually in the Caribbean. This one was starting off in Mexico and finishing up in Miami. But it's nice for us because we only play a couple of times. We're only on it for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
There's other bands on, you know, like I think the Zombies are on this one, who are really nice, you know, our era band. I don't know about the Hollies, but there's a lot of other 60s bands playing.
I looked it up on the website, and I was blown away. I mean, I think even Herman from Herman's Hermits and all these other bands that I remember from the 60s. It was amazing. Looks like it should be amazing.
And it's good fun because everyone dresses up. Everyone's dressed in the Flower Power gear. You know, it's like going back about 50 years.
Oh, that must be wild. That must be so much fun.
Yeah, it's good fun. And some of the gigs we play outside, you know, outside by the pool. It's really it's great fun.
I've never been on a cruise, and someday I want to go on one. But you know that, yeah, that looks like so much fun being on a cruise.
Well, I had the horrors about it when I first started. I thought, oh no, not a cruise. I don't know if I like that. But I've done about half a dozen now, and they've all been great, really nice to do, and very friendly and nice audiences, and very well organised, and great sound and everything. It's really good.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. Yeah, a friend of mine was talking about cruises and saying how, you know, that there's, she goes, Margo, there's so much to do on cruises. And, you know, there's entertainment and there's pools and you can swim and you get to stop in different places and see different locations and everything. And she was, like, really excited about it.
Yeah, I like the idea that there's a cruise up to Alaska, isn't there? I think it starts in Canada, Vancouver or something.
Uh-huh.
Goes up to Alaska. That sounds a good one. It must be lovely.
Yeah, it must be. In fact, it's funny that you mentioned that one because my friend Sally had gone on that one two times. So the only time she'd been on cruises, she went
on the
one to Alaska.
Okay, great. Wonderful.
Oh my gosh, the time is just flying by. We only have about 3 minutes left.
Wow.
So,
amazing.
Yeah, wow, is right. So
I haven't told you any stories yet.
I know. I'm going to have you back on again, right? You know. But anyway,
no,
do you have like
you,
a short?
Tell me a short story.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we played with the Beatles, as I said, at
mm-hmm.
their Christmas show in 1964.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played again with them in 1965 in Paris. In an arena called the Palais des Sports,
uh-huh.
in the middle of Paris, and it was great, and it was a lovely day, and we were on with all these sort of funny French bands, and all the audience were men, and they were all singing along, you know, she loves you, that was really funny, and so we shared the same back line as the Beatles. We used their amps and their drum kit. Because we were on right before them, and that was the easiest thing to do.
Uh-huh.
And there was no big PAs in those days. They didn't use to mic the drums. So when I played with these loud guitarists like Jeff and Chris, I had to play really hard, and I was banging away at Ringo's drums. And
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, I looked down, and I'd broken his snare drum. There was a big hole in it.
Oh, no.
I was so embarrassed. I thought, a broken Ringo snare. I can't believe it. Anyway, there was no problem. The roadie came up and said, oh, no, we're men. Don't worry about it. And Ringo had a laugh and waved his fist at me in a joke. You know, so it all ended happily. But it was a funny moment.
Oh, it sounds great. You know, I think I love hearing you tell the story, so maybe what you need to do is do an audio version of your book. Maybe not the entire book, but maybe, you know, your favorite stories from it or something. That would be wonderful.
Okay, yeah, we thought about it. We've had that thought, so you never know. We might get it together.
Well, I would like to hear it myself. So... Put that in your to-do list.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we've got a minute left, 60 seconds or less at this point. So what would you like to leave our listeners with?
Well, it's sort of quite merry at the moment, isn't it? I always like to say a big thank you. You know, I'm very grateful for my life in music, and I've met some very nice people and play with some great musicians, and I'm very thankful to the universe for that. That's always the main emotion that I feel about my life. I'm very happy with my musical life, really. it's been very good. A bit of a roller coaster here and there, but it.
Life is a roller coaster.
When I look back on it, it's been great, and it's all in that book actually. So
yeah,
there's a lot of funny stories in there.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, we're just about out of time totally. We've already lost the live listeners, and people can find you at theyardbirds.com and also jamesmccarty.com. I've got those
yes.
in the show information. Thank you, Jim. James, for all of the ways you live your music, Jim. It just thank you so much.
Okay,
thanks for
Margo.
Being back on show. Bye bye.
Yeah, it's very nice to be here. Bye.
It's very nice to have you back. Bye for now, Jim. Bye for now, everyone. Remember, live your music.